Okay, great. Welcome to the December 20th meeting of Laws, Rules, and Government Services Committee. Clerk Mahler, do you mind taking attendance?
Sure thing. Chairwoman Bartels.
Here.
Deputy Chair Roberts. Legislator Gavaris.
Present.
Legislator Heppner.
Here.
And Legislator Ronk, you have 3 members present, 2 absent.
Great, thank you. I will entertain a motion for approval of the November 15th regular meeting minutes and transcript.
So moved.
Okay, is there any discussion on the meeting minutes and transcript? Hearing none, all those in favor of accepting the motion? Aye. Oppose? Okay, passes unanimously. We still have more people joining. So what I'm gonna ask, if everyone will bear with me, is that we take resolutions 649, which is late resolution approving the advancement of capital projects for the Ulster County Community College, and resolution 651 out of order. That's the approving of the execution of a contract amendment for, let's do 649. That's 610 and 649 out of order. So because we have Duraine Whitney here with us and Jamie Capuano from the college, and that way we can get the two of you out. I mean, you're welcome to stay for the full presentation, but given that that might take a little longer, and I'd like to give another minute for any other legislators that may be joining us to join. Can we begin with resolution number 610, if there's no objection? Seeing none. Resolution 610 is approving the execution of a contract for $905,634 entered into by the county NCACOMP insurance department. Motion.
Move it.
Thank you. And a second.
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Legislator Gavaris. Ms. Whitney, thank you for joining us. Do you mind just explaining the resolution to us for the record?
Sure. What this is it's our contract with our third-party administrator for our workers' compensation program. So it's the Ulster County Self-Insurance Plan. And we've been with NCA Comp since 2014. We had initially had a 3-year contract, which we did renew. We added 2 amendments, and it ended up being 5 years. So we've decided to stay with them at this point. And so this is the beginning of another term. There's nothing really too much different in the pricing. I mean, it's a little bit higher than it was. What we're doing, though, is it's inflated, of course, in a regular way that, you know, medical bills are still costing more. So generally, workers' comp costs go up each year. And we found that their program is really effective. We've been working very well with them. And I feel that the fact that we've been keeping our budget relatively level the last couple of years, if not reducing it a little bit, I've been very happy. And I think we all agree that they're a good team, and the county's been working very well with them to cover our workers' comp.
Thank you. And this is something you discussed in some detail in your budget presentation to us as well. Yeah. Are there any questions regarding this resolution? Okay, seeing none. All those in favor of resolution 610, aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, passes unanimously. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you too.
Moving on to resolution 649, approving the advancement of capital projects for the Ulster County Community College. Entertain a motion.
I'll move it.
Thank you. Moved by Legislator Heppner, seconded by Legislator Gavaris. Thank you, Ms. Capuano, for joining us. Do you mind just telling us a little bit about this? I think we know why it's late, but even if you could speak to that as well.
Sure, thank you. So this resolution is a resolution that the state requires that we submit with our capital plan for the upcoming state budget. So in order for our projects to be included in the executive budget, they require this resolution passed by the board. This is late. We mistook, So we just had miscommunication on our side in terms of getting this resolution to the board at the budget vote. So typically this resolution would come after the capital project approval at the budget vote. And that's when you would typically see this resolution. Again, it's just in support of the capital project. We'd be coming back to the full legislature for the approval of any advancement of capital, specific capital projects within the plan. This does not authorize the funding, just the advancement of the projects for SUNY and Division of Budget approval.
Great. And any questions on the resolution? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now return to the top of our agenda. First thing that we had on the agenda is a presentation from Director Wiedemann, Department of Economic Development. It's regarding a resolution later in our packet. It has to do with the transfer of what's known as Enterprise East, Tech City East, the former IBM site. So I'm going to turn the floor over to Director Wiedemann. And thank you very much for joining us. And I also want to thank the county attorney for joining us and being present to answer any questions should they arise.
Thank you, Chairwoman Bartels. Pleasure to be here. I also want to thank our team from Harris Beach, who have been advisors to USITA through the process, who are also with us tonight. And I'm going to share my screen if I might. I think Jay gave me the power. So let me do that quick here. Can everyone see my presentation now? Great. All right. So I think it's probably helpful for me to walk through some of the kind of background and details of the proposed transaction here. Many of us have had phone calls and discussions, and we had a public forum with Town of Ulster citizens a week or so ago. But to just give you the full picture and some minor updates as things have evolved over the last several days and weeks, as things are kind of constantly evolving, figured I'd run through this. And there's a lot of information packed in here. So if at any point there's something you want to discuss further, feel free to stop me. And then also we'll be sure to have some time at the end if there's general questions and discussion. So if that sounds okay, Ms. Chairwoman.
So. Yeah, that sounds great. I may not be able to see if people, if there's an urgent question during, perhaps people could put it in the chat. I'll try to monitor it. Because we're sharing screens, I won't be able to see everyone, but we certainly will take time at the end. So if you could just note your questions, and ideally we'll take them at the end unless they're urgent.
And if I can interrupt before you get cooking, Director Wiedemann, I'm going to let in a caller I'm not familiar with. If you could just give me 2 seconds. Good evening, call in user 1. Could we please have your name for the record?
Hey, it's Doreen again. I got cut off on my video.
Okay, thanks, Doreen. You're good.
Sorry about that.
Go ahead, Tim. Sorry.
No worries. All right. So we've been through this part of the story, but just to remind everyone of where we've been, it's been a rough quarter century at the former IBM site. I won't bore all of you who know the story as well or better than I do with all the details of the challenge that we face there, but a reminder that we've spent a lot of time talking about what could have been at this site, thinking and dreaming about what would be in the future. And I think this is an exciting moment where we're really turning the page to a new chapter in the history of this site. And so it's no surprise that we had received initially an RFEI submission from Natural Resources that evolved subsequently to learn that there was a discussion with Allen Ginsberg to purchase the remainder of the east side of the campus. And so this is to kind of outline and describe the details of what's proposed in that purchase by Natural Resources, which has formed a special purpose LLC called iPark 87, representing their intent to use their iPark brand to redevelop the former IBM site. And so, a lot of exciting things that are in the future, but before we can get to those things, the matter at hand is a transaction to provide site control, ultimately from Allen Ginsberg, over to Natural Resources in their iPark 87 LLC. So a reminder of where that will go once it's completed, or at least where it's slated to go. Natural Resources has indicated an intent to invest up to $200 million in redevelopment of the site, and they expect to create a campus of mixed use commercial, industrial, and even residential and recreational uses, which would support up to 1,000 new jobs and would really focus on sustainability as the model for the campus. And so all of that, I mean, I think if you have a pulse that all sounds exciting, we would probably agree on that. But the question is, how do they get there and when do they get there and what does it take to get there? And so I'm going to walk you through the gist of that here tonight. You all are familiar that back on December 1st, we received a signed order from Judge Rounds that was a stipulation of settlement on the foreclosure proceeding. So back in July, the county started the foreclosure process on these parcels on the east side of the campus. National Resources subsequently approached the county to assist with their proposed acquisition since this was in foreclosure. And ultimately, the settlement agreement became the roadmap for the foreclosure to proceed and for a sale that would result in a transfer back to National Resources at the end of the deal. And a reminder that what is in front of us now is the only option on the table other than continuing to pursue the foreclosure proceedings that we had initiated. And so if no settlement can be reached on the foreclosure, that means the foreclosure process continues to proceed. We're confident, and I think thanks to the due diligence and hard work of the county attorney's office, well positioned to succeed in that foreclosure process, and expect with high degree of confidence that eventually the judge would rule in favor of the county on that foreclosure proceeding. But unfortunately, that might not be the end of the story. A transfer of the properties to the county could get held up by a legal process that could involve things such as a bankruptcy proceeding or, you know, piecemeal sale of the properties and a number of other possible scenarios that could slow down that process of getting site control through foreclosure. And in the meantime, this is the rough part, is that we know that the properties have been declining, but the speed at which they're likely to decline would be expected to increase if we're in the limbo state of a foreclosure proceeding that's ultimately gonna result in a successful transfer of the properties, but a delaying tactic by the current owner to try to hold on to the value of the asset as long as possible, which would really throw the properties into a state of limbo. We would see continued no tax payments on the properties, further deterioration of the buildings, which notably for some of them could mean increased environmental concerns, and no economic activity on the site and all the lost kind of opportunity cost that that represents in terms of potential economic activity. And ultimately that continues the vicious cycle that we've already seen really kind of eating away at the bones of the site, and that only makes it harder to revive the site once we finally find our way out of that vicious cycle. And just to be blunt about it, means that the liabilities will continue to accrue on this property as they have been in the past, and probably with increasing speed over the next several years if we don't find a way to settle this and get somebody responsible to own the properties and invest in them. So the terms of the proposed sale is to first purchase the remainder of Ginsburg's properties indicated in yellow on the map. That's over 160 acres and includes the master parcel that underlies the industrial condoed parcels there that you can see as faint yellow lines that surround the footprints of buildings. The green is the properties that the county foreclosed on previously in 2019 and that have since been transferred in surplus to the LDC. And then the light blue are the ones that were purchased by a clothing wholesaler and distributor called Mio Marino from Allen Ginsburg several months ago. The purchase price is proposed to be $12 million, which would be paid in $5 million in cash payments over 5 years, plus a credit of $7 million for the cleanup of the environmental issues caused by Mr. Ginsburg during his tenure. And, you know, this is something that we've talked a little bit about since the first presentation of the terms, but just to make it clear and be direct about it, there is a second payment that's made by Mr. Cotter to Mr. Ginsburg in the amount of $4 million that is not a windfall to Mr. Ginsburg, but is instead required in order to disentangle the properties from him. There's a lot of encumbrances, including debt that the properties are securing. There's liens and judgments against the properties. There's outstanding bills to the property manager and for utilities. And then there's closing costs. And that amount that would be paid in this separate deal is to cover those costs. The purchase ultimately requires the buyer to complete cleanup and to start redevelopment, which is handled through some development milestones that I'll walk through in a minute. And if those milestones aren't met, then the property would revert back to the county. So those milestones, the first milestone that the developer would be required to complete is to enter into what's called a bona fide prospective purchaser agreement. That's with EPA. Right now, Allen Ginsburg is under a uniform administrative order, which is basically an enforcement action by EPA that says you must clean up this to our specifications. If Joe and National Resources, I-Park 87, are to step into Allen's shoes and complete the cleanup, they can't do so until they're under an enforcement instrument like a bona fide prospective purchaser agreement with EPA. And so the first milestone is to say, look, you have to do that. You have to get under an agreement with EPA to do the cleanup. And the milestone is to set that within 6 months. And if that's not met, then to revert the property. The second milestone is to remediate the asbestos piles to EPA's satisfaction. Ultimately, it's an EPA enforcement action, and EPA is the one that's going to govern whether or not that's completed successfully. Our milestone is that needs to be completed within 12 months. And then the third milestone is to rehab or demolish building one, which is the giant building behind the clock tower building in fairly bad shape and in need of remediation. And to do that again to EPA specifications and to EPA satisfaction as it's part of the enforcement action as well. And the milestone there is to complete that within 24 months. And then finally moving past the cleanup and starting to chip away at the redevelopment of the site in earnest, we have a final milestone to finance 100,000 square feet of either new or rehab space on the property within the 5-year window of payments to the county. That's kind of our recapture window is the 5 years, and it would end with this milestone. So the steps that we've completed to this point, just to kind of lay them out there, and then I'll talk about the remaining steps. Back on December 1st, Judge Rounds issued that order and stipulation of settlement that was the roadmap for the foreclosure and sale. And then on the 2nd, the county legislature passed a resolution to authorize it to accept the deeds and to set a public hearing. On the 12th, we had a forum with Town of Ulster citizens, which was well attended and had some good questions, got a chance to discuss this and share some of the basic deal structure and terms during that conversation. And now we're moving into the remaining steps that include the legislature's public hearing tomorrow evening at 6:30, and then a resolution 650, which is on the agenda for tonight, but I understand Legislator Bartels will be pushed to a joint session of laws and rules and ways and means tomorrow after the public hearing. And then ultimately, if it passes through committee, taken up by the full body at the regular session meeting tomorrow evening. And then either that night, actually, we have a USITA special meeting that night that if the legislature does authorize the transfer to USITA, that the purchase and sale agreement would be authorized by USITA tomorrow night as well, which sets up the execution of the purchase and sale agreement on the following day. So those are kind of the big picture steps that have been taken, that remain to be taken. I want to talk about, this may get, I apologize if I got a little carried away in my PowerPoint presentation, but I think there's a lot of mechanics in the way that this works. And it's not just a straight sale. If it was a straight sale, we probably wouldn't need to be here tonight. There's kind of a complicated series of transactions that have to happen in order for this to occur. And a lot of the questions that I've gotten both during that public forum and in conversation with you all has to do with the sequence of steps and how this all actually works. And I think it also sheds light on why it's all structured the way it is, because ultimately the series of steps are really important to take in sequence. So the first step here, I mentioned that there's this separate deal between National Resources and Allen Ginsberg. That's ultimately what allows Mr. Ginsberg to surrender the deeds to the property. And so once that agreement is reached, then the properties and the deeds will be turned over to the court, ultimately awaiting a judgment. And once that judgment is in place, then the foreclosure action proceeds. And so those properties then are foreclosed on and Allen's out of the picture. That's important. Like, I just want to impress that the reason that this is set up in the sequence that it is, the first thing that happens is we get Mr. Ginsberg out of the picture. Obviously, that's been a challenge for past deals, and it's important to make sure that we can move ahead without his further actions or concerns or decisions to be made in the future. So then once that happens, the court would issue the judgment awarding the properties to the county. So the county receives the deeds. And then the county files those deeds and authorizes, potentially tomorrow night, the transfer of those deeds to USITA. Once that occurs, then USITA has to actually vote to accept the deeds. They would do that at tomorrow night's meeting if the legislature approves the transfer. And then USITA and IPARC 87 can execute the purchase and sale agreement. And once that happens, then subsequent to that, in the first quarter of 2022, the deeds would actually transfer to IPARC 87. In the meantime, there would be a license agreement that allows IPARC 87 to have control and ultimately to take responsibility for the property so that it's not USITA's to pay bills, to manage the tenants, all that kind of stuff. And so then at the end of this, the real kind of purpose of it is that the annual payments, those $5 million in 1 million increments, would be paid to USITA, but then passed back as per the surplus resolution. The proceeds of a sale would be returned to the county. And so those annual payments would flow back to the county. And USITA would monitor those redevelopment milestones. And if there was a need to revert, would have the authority to revert the property back to county control. So that's the sequence. That's hopefully helpful. I would appreciate feedback if any of that's confusing, but that's, I think, you know, at the level of detail that we've gotten and ultimately ready to move this forward with the legislature's blessing on the surplus resolution. So just before I end, there's a lot more information that we've posted up on the county website, including details from the original RFEI submission, the master plan for the campus, a map of the parcels included. All of that, as well as an FAQ document, are up on the county website at the link that's there. And since we are still in the public hearing window, we have been sharing, Vicki, I'm sorry, I don't think you're on the call, but we've been sharing Vicki's email so that folks can submit their comments if they choose to the legislature. That's it from me, Legislator Bartels. I'll pass it back to you.
Great, thank you very much. Jay, do you mind taking back over the screen so I can see everyone at once, or at least the bulk at once? Okay, I see Legislator Walter has her virtual hand up.
Thanks. Tim, just in those drawings, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't have it in front of me, but it was that it's 12 million, but then 7 million is back to them to deal with the cleanup. So that leaves the five. I just didn't see it in the cartoon. But that's how it works. Is essentially they give us 12 in a way, and then we give them back 7, and then but we don't actually do that transaction. But that's it was really a 12 million, right?
If I might, yeah. The way that it's envisioned is that there's a $12 million purchase price with a $7 million upfront credit provided against that purchase price, which leaves the balance as 5 million paid over 5 years. There is a condition in the purchase and sale agreement for a true up at the end of the 5 years. So if they can't, they have to provide receipts and invoices and all documentation on their expenses for cleanup. And if that came out to say 6 million, then they would owe an additional $1 million in purchase price, bringing the cash purchase price up to 6 million.
And then could you just explain, so say they defaulted, what happens to the cleanup and that? Is that then stays as our responsibility? Is that correct?
That's correct. If we choose to revert, if they fail at the milestones, then we have the choice to revert. So it's clear that if we decided to give them more time, if there's some reasonable explanation of why they weren't able to meet those milestones, that would be an option. But if we did revert, then it would be back into county control, and we would ultimately seek a more responsible party to complete the cleanup, either if the county chose to do it itself or to seek another developer to complete the cleanup. And ultimately, let me just point out that until the cleanup is complete to EPA satisfaction, Allen Ginsberg remains liable for the cleanup. And so one avenue there would be to continue to pursue Allen for the cost of the cleanup. He would be obligated to do that. And as you know, EPA has, I'd love to use the term, pierced the corporate veil. And so ultimately, he's personally and potentially criminally liable if he doesn't comply.
And if I might just jump in and for a point of clarification, if in the event that they spend more than the $7 million credit, that's on the developer.
That's right. The credit is not more than 7 million. It could be less if they can't prove that they've spent 7 million in cleanup costs, but it can't be more.
Okay. Does anyone else? Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you. Maybe you can help me with this. There was an FAQ sent around, and in there is a question related to how were they chosen? And it says they weren't because it's not county owned, but that's not true. It is county owned. So I'm confused over that statement.
So point of clarification, and tell me if I miss you on this in any way, but the parcels in question here, there are two or three of them that are county owned from a foreclosure action. Clint would have to help me maybe 5 years ago. Those are parcels that have not been actively marketed recently. I think they were actually attempted to auction and there were no bidders on the auction years ago. So just to clarify, the county really does not own the majority of these parcels on the east side. So we weren't seeking buyers. We were not seeking bidders or developers to enter into anything here. We sought partners on the west side of the campus for the Enterprise West campus. And out of that seeking, became aware of the fact that National Resources was interested both on the west side, but really because they had started negotiations with Allen on the east side. So we weren't in a position to choose the partner on the east side. On the east side, the partner kind of chose us. They went to Allen and started to negotiate a deal, realized there was a foreclosure proceeding. And so in order to come to any conclusion on that deal, they would need to enter into discussions with us.
Okay, it still doesn't answer, I guess it sort of answers why you didn't go out to with another, you know, RFEI or try to find another interested buyer, but it doesn't answer that at the same time. There was no attempt other than putting up in the auction block to do this before. So I don't know if we're limiting ourselves, and I don't think we are, but I'm playing devil's advocate here, and I could see where this could be questionable.
Yeah, I understand. I think I understand where you're coming from, grappling with, is there some better option out there, or at least, you know, could there be? I think that's a dangerous slope, because that's ultimately, you know, I think that the narrative that has made it hard to ever take action on this site is that there's somehow some better offer out there. And ultimately, I think that better offer has never materialized to date. And it seems unlikely that it's just out there hiding, especially at this point.
Any other questions at the moment? Comptroller Gallagher?
Tim, could you just speak to the status of parcel 270, which I understand is the parking lots parcel? I'm a little bit confused. It is named in paragraph one of the settlement agreement. What is the status of that parcel right now? How will that parcel flow through your diagrams? Thank you.
I don't have the map in front of me, so you might have to help me remember which one is 270. Anybody have the map?
I think she's referring to the master parcel, Tim.
The master parcel, Tim.
So the master parcel is a part of the transaction. It comes with a management agreement that flows with the parcel. Whoever owns it is responsible to uphold the conditions and terms of that management agreement. It is a part of the transaction envisioned here. It is one of the parcels that Allen would surrender, withdraws foreclosure objections, and that would go through the foreclosure process, and then ultimately, after the resolution to surplus the properties moves that to USITA, then would be part of the purchase and sale agreement. Maybe that's not answering your question though.
Is the parcel part of the foreclosure? Is the master parcel part of the foreclosure?
Yes, it is.
And again, for clarification on both questions from Comptroller Gallagher and from Legislator Guevaras, those parcels that are part of the foreclosure are not yet owned by the county. They are in the process of foreclosure.
Correct.
Okay. I just want to be clear for the record. Legislator Guevaras?
One clarification question. As long as everything goes according to the plan, is there any anticipation of having to come to the legislature and ask for money for anything towards this?
I am hesitant to ever answer that question again, but I think it's safe, and I'm looking at Clint. I think it's safe to say that no, there wouldn't be an instance. This is one where the plan is to offload them as quickly as humanly possible to this developer to take responsibility for the cleanup efforts and to not have the county or USITA have to shoulder that burden.
If I could just add in that Tim brought up the license agreement that allows Natural Resources to take kind of ownership now, meaning they'll be the ones plowing the parking lots. They'll be the ones paying utilities and everything else while the deeds are you know, have in that 90-day pause or however long.
We will have to pay the taxes, at least some portion of it, like with Enterprise West. No,
this is envisioned to, you know, basically it's, this part is kind of like a standard closing that, basically, at the closing, there will be a reconciliation of taxes owed, but ultimately, the $12 million back taxes number that we throw around is basically current as of December. And so if this all happens in December, then likely the properties will all transfer over and iPark 87 will be responsible for taxes immediately.
Can I ask, does someone have the annual tax payments that the county is currently making to make the town and the schools whole?
I don't have the number. My recollection is that the amount to make them whole is somewhere around $600,000, but I would have to fact check that. And also remember that we, in a sense, we don't make ourselves whole. So there may be a higher actual tax liability than that. That's just the town and the school district liability. Exactly. But I'd have to double check.
Could we before tomorrow's meeting get exact number? I mean, I think it is important to note that in the absence of this, I mean, it's something we've been doing on an annual basis, you know, for as long as these properties have been in default, but in the absence of an agreement, that would continue to be our responsibility. I see no hands at the moment. I'm going to ask another question. The purchase and sale agreement, it's going to have the explicit requirements that you laid out, the 6-month, 12-month, 24-month, and the 5-year requirement. Those are all going to be laid out in the purchase and sale agreement between USITA and the developer. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Legislator Green?
I just want to check. I've asked this a few times, but I want to be sure that we're only talking about Enterprise East and that there are no strings attached to Enterprise West.
Yes, that's correct. And good question. That is true. This is only on Enterprise East. The purchaser through Natural Resources, their parent entity, remains interested in negotiating some sort of arrangement to be a developer, a development partner on the west side, but that has not been negotiated and this has no bearing on that.
I don't see any other hands. I do have another question. Regarding in the slides you talked about in the settlement agreement, it's called the developer agreement and the $4 million to disentangle and pay down debts and closing costs. Is it anticipated that is going to be paid directly to the creditors or is it going to flow through the corporation? And will there be specific strings attached to ensure that it's actually used to pay the creditors rather than to enrich the I don't know if it's a company or if it's Allen Ginsberg personally.
So, you know, I wish that I could say more about it, but it's ultimately a private deal between two private parties. I think the best that I can say is what's been relayed to me by Natural Resources to explain that amount, which includes $2.5 million of debt that needs to be paid, which is secured by the properties, about $750,000 of back bills, including the management company's bills, a $634,000 EPA lien for the piles. They covered them with tarps, and then the closing costs. So I think that's adds up to almost exactly $4 million, a little shy of $4 million. So it leaves me to believe that there's some small amount that ultimately Alan or his attorneys require, but ultimately it gives me confidence that what we're talking about here is the necessary things for Natural Resources to actually be able to move forward with clean title to secure financing for their work.
Comptroller Gallagher.
I understand that through the $7 million credit, the taxpayers will be, you know, basically assisting in the cleanup costs of the property. Is there anything in the purchase and sale agreement that speaks to double dipping if the developer is able to obtain other resources from taxpayers like brownfield tax credits, et cetera, to pay for cleanup?
I don't believe that that's been contemplated. Ultimately, I think that whatever the resources that are available and legitimate for funding this kind of work, I'm sure that the developer is eager to explore those and use those to complete the work. As we've mentioned before, EPA estimates the cost to be a minimum of $7 million and estimates go up to $12 million. So I think there's a substantial amount of work here that probably will require many sources in order to get completed.
Go ahead.
So if the developer is able to obtain resources that are taxpayer dollars from state or federal sources, that should weigh in to what comes back to USITA for Ulster County taxpayers. Otherwise, taxpayers are paying twice to clean up the property.
You know, I I would see that as, I would differ in that opinion. I think that there are many sources out there, and ultimately a project of this scale would normally use multiple sources. So, but I understand and hear what you're saying.
Legislator Litz, I've got you in one sec. I just want to follow on Comptroller Gallagher's comment. Well, first of all, again, just a question. That concern would be addressed in the purchase sale agreement, because that's where the details will be drawn up regarding that, the how the financial figures are going to flow, correct? So that's something that could still be contemplated in that agreement?
I would say that feels like an incredible ask at this late juncture to try to make it clear that there's somehow no provision for them to pursue other funds that are specifically designated for a cleanup activity. That seems challenging.
I may be speaking for Comptroller Gallagher, and you can stop me, but I guess she's touched on something I thought of when you talk about that. I guess you called it the true up at the end of 5 years. My thought, and I could have been reading it wrong, but my thought was that true up would be an analysis of what the developer actually spent in the cleanup. Not if the developer received $12 million in state or federal funding or some outside funding, well, particularly taxpayer funding for the cleanup, that wouldn't apply toward the seven because it wouldn't have been out of pocket for the developer. So, and am I misunderstanding you, Comptroller Gallagher?
No, that's correct. That it would factor into a true up calculation because the developer already would have been reimbursed for those expenditures.
They wouldn't have been developer expenses. Not that the developer shouldn't or couldn't pursue all avenues possible in order to get those funds. And certainly if there were outside funds available, more power to them, even other taxpayer funds. I didn't anticipate that would be a part of a final calculation. Let me go to Legislator Litz because he had his hand up and we can come back to this.
I wanted to weigh in this discussion because he gets credit for $7 million towards the cleanup. That's not a freebie. He has to supply us all his bills and everything that he has spent to recoup that $7 million. So if he gets a grant and he's paying, I mean, it's getting paid for by taxpayer dollars, that's not his out-of-pocket expense. So he's not going to receive a credit against the $7 million that we're crediting him if it's not out of his expenses.
Is that... Deputy Executive Ryder?
I'll just say in any developer's calculation on a deal like this, they're fully aware of different funding sources. And when they are coming to the table with negotiations, they're going to be thinking that those are all part of kind of their expenses. As Tim said, this is kind of late in this process. Not that we can't consider it or UCEDA can't consider it, but you know, they are taking the ability of getting federal and state funding probably as an option for some of this. If there happens to be a EPA or a DEC grant that opens next month that none of us were aware of, I don't know that we should say, okay, that's part of your $7 million if they get funded in that. I'm not sure that makes a lot of sense.
Comptroller Gallagher.
I'm not asking that the developer doesn't take advantage of state or federal dollars. In fact, if they receive state or federal dollars, I would say that would protect Ulster County taxpayers because then those portions of the credit that we're giving will flow back to UCEDA as payment. I think, you know, what I'm talking about is that be taken into consideration that taxpayers not pay this developer twice for the same cleanup. I hear what you're saying, that the cleanup costs may way exceed the $7 million. I've asked for documentation on the cleanup costs. I haven't received that. And, you know, to the extent that you guys are saying this is last minute, I'm sorry. You know, this is on your timeline And I've been trying to insert myself in every stage of this process with little to no information available. So, I get it. I get that a lot of this is under a confidentiality to make it go, but this is the time to ask questions. If not now, then when? So I'm sorry to present a difficult question. It's not to stop the developer from getting state or federal dollars. It's to make sure that taxpayers don't pay $14 million for a $7 million cleanup. And I think the developer would see the logic in that. So I ask you to take that back to the table and I'll bring it to you, Sita, as well tomorrow. Thank you.
Legislator Archer and then Legislator Walter.
So I guess my question is, I mean, did not, we have the attorneys here that drew up the agreement. Can we not get clarification from those who drew up the contract to ensure that, to everyone's point, that the taxpayers aren't paying for this twice?
If I might, I think the point is taken under advisement, Legislator Archer, and I would expect and respectfully request time to discuss it with our attorneys and figure out how we might incorporate that. But I appreciate the point. It's well received. I understand, you know, the concern that it would be, you know, in the worst case scenario, a terrible disservice to taxpayers if $14 million was spent on $7 million worth of expense. So understand.
And so we will get a clarification prior to having to do decision this tomorrow.
We will bring it to the attorneys and discuss it and have one answer one way or the other for you.
Thank you.
Legislator Walter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not to belabor the point, but I guess my way of just asking the same question is, are they expected to tell us about other funding? I mean, that's what it would all come down to, is if there, the expectation is any other funding that they receive, are you assuming they'll tell you about that?
Well, obviously, in order to accomplish this goal, it would be necessary to know the sources, not just the uses. And so that would be, I guess, envisioned in how this would be implemented. But again, I think we need time to digest it, figure out if there's a reasonable way to accomplish it in the purchase and sale agreement.
Legislator Cahill.
Thank you. I just want to throw this out there. I just think, at this point, and yes, I understand that it's on the timeline that is presented by the folks involved in this transaction. But I think throwing something in there at this late in the game that may hinder the sale of this parcel is a big mistake, because if Mr. Cotter and National Resources walk away, there was no lineup of people looking for that site before, and I don't anticipate a lineup of people looking for that site afterward. And by the way, we will become fully responsible for everything, you know, in the end, if we let this deal fall through. And I think, putting additional requirements on what has been a fairly well negotiated deal. And I'm not sure if they're additional or not even, but I'm just saying, if it does come down to that, I think that's a very negative thing. And it sends a very bad message about Ulster County overall, that we get this close to the end of a transaction and now we're throwing all kinds of monkey wrenches in there to prevent it from completing. I just think, Mr. Cotter has proven to be so far a very reputable businessman, and I don't think he's looking to take advantage of anyone anywhere. And if there's an opportunity for him to do things the right way, he's going to do them the right way. We do have the agreement that he has to prove where and how much he paid to get rid of that. So we'll see where that goes. But I think adding anything additional at this point is a big mistake, and we will live to regret it. That's my prediction.
I don't see another hand. I'm just going to weigh in and say that, I am and I have been supportive of this agreement since I heard about it. I think this is important to have a public forum where we can discuss it. But I have to say, I didn't even think to ask that question, because I just assumed, and Legislator Cahill just said it, I just assumed that an analysis of expense would be the developer's expense. That, as Legislator Litz, who's also on the USITA board, said, that was my assumption, that there was going to be an analysis of real expense, and should that real expense exceed $7 million, it'd be on the developer, and if should it be under, the money would come back. It never crossed my mind that if the developer received all of the funding from state funds, that we would then reimburse the developer. We would allow that $7 million credit to stand, because that wouldn't be developer expense. So it just never occurred to me to even ask that question until today, because I was operating under the assumption that that's what we were talking about, developer expense. So I don't even think about it as something new. Yes, Director Wiedemann.
Just to be clear, I have no reason to believe that the developer is pursuing public sources for this cleanup. So, you know, I hear you, and I think this is exactly the value of a conversation like this, is unearthing kind of, you know, the devil is in the details, and so trying to, you know, figure out if there's some piece of this that we can strengthen. And you know, I respect that. I just ask that you understand that this is a very complex deal. And as the pictures hopefully got at least across the complexity of the moving pieces here, I you know, want to just indicate that we will review this, do everything in our power to make sure that possibility, which I would say is, I think, you know, Legislator Cahill said, the developer seems to be a responsive and responsible corporate citizen that I would expect would not want to put themselves or the county in that position. But ultimately here, we want to make sure that we don't end up foreclosing on a deal because of some issue that we can resolve in some other way if necessary. But again, my assurance is that we will talk with the team and figure out if there's some way that we can incorporate something that provides that protection.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Okay. All right, seeing none. Thank you very much for the presentation, for the opportunity to ask questions. It's very helpful. And thank you everyone who's present to hear the presentation as well. So seeing no other questions, we're gonna move into resolutions. Back into resolutions, starting at the top. Resolution number 376, authorizing the termination of a lease agreement with CPR Kingston LLC Bank for space used by the Board of Elections.
Move it.
Moved by Legislator Heppner.
Second.
Seconded by Legislator Gavaris. Legislator Gavaris, do you want to speak on this?
Yeah, can I just take a motion to postpone this to next month's meeting, or to the next meeting?
Okay, can I suggest, we're going to have this come up a couple times in this meeting in terms of postponing things to the next. Can we take no action? Can I request that we take no action? And then I know some of the sponsors for some of the resolutions that are here. Let me just speak to this entirely now. So there's been a debate and a discussion about whether or not it's proper to postpone proper and allowable to postpone a resolution from one legislative session into the next legislative session. There's disagreement among council on the subject. And while we're not conceding the point on that front, we are prepared to act in a collegial manner and bipartisan and take no action on several of the resolutions that are going to come up with the anticipation that they will be reintroduced in the next session. I also want to state for the record that there, one of these resolutions is setting a public hearing after debate between legislative council and minority council. I believe there we reached a consensus that is allowable, but the plan, which is not yet before us, is to do the same with that resolution. Again, spirit of bipartisanship and collegiality, we are going to take no action and anticipate that resolution as well will be reintroduced in the next session. The resolution's been moved and seconded. I'd like to propose that we take no action. Do we need to withdraw the motion and the second, or?
I have a motion on the floor from Legislator Gavaris to postpone, which I would love for him to withdraw.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then as far as the motion for discussion, I think we can just move on. Is that correct?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. So, and it is the end. Legislator Gavaris, I'm fully anticipating you'll reintroduce it at the first next meeting of laws and rules. And I look forward to the ongoing discussion. Next resolution is resolution number 395, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2021, a local law amending the code of County of Ulster in relation to evictions, to be held on Tuesday, January 4th, 2022 at 6:30 p.m. Motion for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second by Legislator Gavaris. Okay. I propose that we take no action on this resolution. That's okay with the sponsor who's present. I get the thumbs up. Okay. So full anticipation that this will be reintroduced in the coming session. Resolution number 551, adopting proposed local law number 8 of 2021, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 304, Solid Waste, Article 4, Food Waste Prevention and Recovery in relation to composting.
Move it.
Motion. Thank you. Seconded. Aye. Thank you. Seconded by Legislator Gavaris. Is there any discussion? Sponsor is here as well. Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor? Aye. Opposed? Okay. It passes unanimously. Resolution number 552, calling the organizational meeting of 2022. Motion.
I'll move it.
Second. There's been some discussion about amending the date of the meeting to January 10th. And just confirm that that is the correct date. Legislator Heppner, is that the correct date? Yes. January 10th. Last day that we're available to have it. Gives us a day for a snow day in case we need it, if we are in person. So I'll entertain a motion to amend.
I'll make that motion to amend it.
Thank you. All those in favor of amending for January 10th?
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously. So on the resolution as amended, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Passes. Okay. Resolution number 557, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 of 2021, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster, Chapter 131, Vehicles County, Article 1, Sustainable Green Fleet Policy in relation to strategies and goals, to be held on Tuesday, January 4th, 2022 at 6:40 p.m. Motion for discussion?
Can I just move to take no action?
We could just take no action if you like.
Yep.
So for the record, this it's anticipated that this will be reintroduced in the coming term. It's the resolution that I spoke about. Okay, now we did 610, 649. So moving on to resolution 650, authorizing the required steps for the transfer of certain real properties owned by Ulster County and located at site known as IBM Tech City East, Town of Ulster, to the Ulster County Economic Development Alliance, Inc.
I'll move it.
Second for discussion.
Second.
Okay, so I would like to entertain a motion to postpone this to the joint meeting of Laws and Rules and Ways and Means to be held tomorrow evening, December 21st. Do we need any more detail than that in the postponement?
Your meeting is scheduled for 6:40 if you wanna roll that in there, 6:40 or immediately following the public hearing.
Okay, to be held tomorrow, December 21st at 6:40 or immediately following the public hearing. What?
I'll move okay. That.
Move that, second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And resolution number 651, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $500,000 entered into by the County AccuCare NNH Inc. Department of Health. Move for discussion.
Move it.
Second.
Thank you. Second. Deputy Executive Ryder, do you want to speak both to the content and to the late?
So we realized after the resolution deadline that the amount left in this contract was not going to make it until the February session when you'd be able to vote again. These are the the contract that we use for contract nurses to help at our vaccination pods and for case investigations at the health department.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Okay, seeing none on the resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, you have a note that petition to discharge was successfully executed for resolution number 550, which was adopting proposed local law number 6 of 2021, local law repealing local law number 2 of 2013, establishing the Ulster County School-Based Mental Health and Safety Act of 2021. That'll be on tomorrow's agenda. Is there any old business anyone would like to discuss? Any new business? Okay, I want to thank the members that are here, and I will reach out to those who are not for a great term. Thank you for your diligence and your work on the committee, and thank you to our regular guests from the executive's office and the comptroller. We appreciate your participation in these meetings throughout the year. So, and of course, thank you to our council and minority council. And of course, the county attorney, we appreciate seeing you here today. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful holiday. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Thanking you, Chair Bartels. I'll make that motion.
Thank you. All those in favor of adjournment? Aye. All right. Have a great evening, everyone. Happy holidays.
Stay safe, stay healthy.
Happy New Year.